Welcome back to another episode of The Radio Psychs, your premier podcast for insights into everything mental health. I'm Dr. Aaron Haddock.
And I'm Dr. Rhonda Yu. We're psychologists who care about people and bringing science to practice.
And we're so glad to have you join us.
Please note that the information shared in this episode is solely intended for informational and entertainment purposes only and is not a substitute for professional medical or mental health advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Today's topic is mindfulness for mental health.
If you can, close your eyes for a moment or simply lower your gaze. Take a slow, deep breath in and slowly exhale.
What do you think you're doing?
Well, I thought it might be good to run through a mindfulness meditation exercise with everyone.
I mean, sorry, man. I hate to break up the party, but I don't think we have time for that. We have a lot of ground to cover on this topic, and we can't afford to get people too relaxed at the start of a less than 10 minutes long podcast episode.
Okay, that's true. And, you know, now that I think about it, we should probably start by clarifying a distinction that often causes some confusion: the difference between mindfulness and mindfulness meditation. They're really not the same thing, are they?
They're related, but they're not the same thing. Mindfulness is a mental state of being aware and fully present in the current moment, without judgment. In other words, it's about being completely engaged in what's happening right now and acknowledging our thoughts and feelings, but without getting caught up in them.
Now, mindfulness meditation, on the other hand, is a specific practice used to cultivate mindfulness. It's like a workout for the mind, a dedicated time where we engage in exercise to develop and strengthen our capacity for mindfulness.
So meditation is just one specific practice for developing mindfulness, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. It's just one of many. We can cultivate mindfulness in so many ways and in so many different places. We can do it while sitting quietly, doing the laundry, or eating dinner. We can do just about any activity mindfully, really.
Yeah, that's great. I need something to work on while I'm doing the laundry. Aaron, can you give us a breakdown of the key elements of a mindfulness exercise?
Yeah, sure. These exercises have three elements that they all have in common: awareness, presence, and acceptance. Awareness involves paying attention to your thoughts, feelings, and the world around you. It's like turning on a spotlight to observe the various aspects of your internal and external experiences. Presence is about being present, not just physically existing here, but fully immersing yourself in the current moment, letting go of distractions and giving your undivided attention to whatever you're doing or whomever you're with.
Yeah, all mindfulness exercises bring attention to the present. And if distractions happen to pull our attention away from the here and now, the go-to move is to return your focus to the here and now by focusing on an object, usually your breath, because it's this tangible thing that's always available in the present moment.
Right. I've always liked the notion that the breath breathes itself, or in other words, it takes no conscious effort. You can just observe it flowing in and out like waves on the seashore. And finally, there's acceptance, which involves acknowledging and allowing your thoughts and emotions to be as they are, without trying to change or resist them. It's about embracing the reality of the present moment with a non-judgmental and compassionate attitude, even if it includes challenges or discomfort.
That's a good overview. Now tell me, what does the research say about how practicing mindfulness affects us?
Ronnie, I gotta tell you, the research is fascinating. Neuroimaging studies conducted over the last two decades suggest practicing mindfulness actually changes the structure and function of the brain. When it comes to how the structure of our brain changes, numerous studies have shown that regular mindfulness practice leads to an increase in the brain's gray matter, especially in areas linked to memory, emotion regulation, self-awareness, decision-making, and compassion.
That's pretty wild.
Right? Ronnie, can you tell us what the research says about the changes in the function of the brain?
Yeah, the changes in function are just as impressive as the changes in structure. Studies have shown that mindfulness practices are associated with increased activity in the prefrontal cortex, which is like the brain's control center for making smart decisions and keeping emotions in check. And get this, research suggests that mindfulness also has a calming effect on the amygdala, which is the brain's stress center. It's like telling your brain, relax, we've got a handle on things.
That's right. There are now hundreds of studies with healthy people that have found it to be effective for reducing stress and symptoms of anxiety and depression.
It's also been used to help effectively treat people with specific issues like pain conditions and addictive disorders. Aaron, what do we know about how much we need to practice mindfulness to reap the benefits?
Good question. You know, it really doesn't have to be a lot. There's some research out of Harvard that suggests 10 to 15 minutes a day is all you need to see benefits, assuming you do this consistently over time.
Are we talking days, weeks, or more of a long-term commitment?
At least weeks, if not more. While individual experiences can vary, studies often suggest that it takes at least a few weeks of regular practice to notice positive changes.
Okay. Now, with the available information on mindfulness, it seems that the general recommendation is to cultivate it because it's beneficial for our mental health. But are there downsides to be aware of?
There are. It's important to acknowledge it's not a one-size-fits-all practice. For starters, some people may find it challenging to stay consistent with their mindfulness practice. There are many possible reasons for this. It could be due to lack of time, boredom with the exercises, frustration as they grapple with a wandering mind, or self-judgment, telling themselves, I'm not doing this right.
And in addition to the problem of not practicing enough, there's also such a thing as too much of a good thing. There's some research to indicate that spending too much of our time engaged in mindfulness exercises can actually harm our mental health. Now, there isn't a clear inflection point or amount of time under which you can safely practice that I can share with you, because the research that would give us this just hasn't happened yet. What I can share, however, is that moderation is key.
Right. That's a really important point, Randy. If you find that mindfulness practices are causing stress or becoming a burden, reassess and tailor your approach. Remember, the goal is to cultivate a sense of peace and presence, not to overwhelm yourself.
Another consideration is that for some people, delving into mindfulness may bring up uncomfortable emotions or memories. It's like opening a door to your mind, and sometimes what comes out can be challenging to process. It's essential to approach mindfulness with a gentle and self-compassionate mindset, and if needed, seek guidance from a professional.
Definitely. Consider a professional with expertise in a therapeutic approach that deliberately teaches mindfulness, such as mindfulness-based cognitive therapy, mindfulness-based stress reduction, dialectical behavior therapy, or acceptance and commitment therapy.
And that's a wrap. Thank you for being present with us today. We appreciate you joining us on this mindful escapade.
If you have any thoughts, questions, suggestions for future episodes, perhaps requests for us to take you through a guided mindfulness meditation,
dude,
please don't hesitate to reach out. Take care and be well, everybody.
Take care and be well.